When I say the name Judas Iscariot, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? It's probably the betrayal of Jesus. What about Ahab? King Ahab of the Old Testament. The first thing that comes to my mind is he's probably the worst king in history. Or what about Joseph, Esther, or Joshua? And from the accounts that we've been taught as young children, it was the tremendous faith of these people that helped save and lead entire nations. And so when you ask yourself, when people say your name, what qualities do people associate with your name? Are they positive qualities? Are they negative qualities? Are they worldly qualities, or are they godly qualities? Good and bad reputations are, and I say this because good and bad reputations are often synonymous with names. A good reputation takes a lifetime to build, but only seconds to destroy. Influence, and so through the biblical accounts, we can see that influence can be changed from evil to good or from good to evil. An example of evil to good is Saul's conversion of Paul. And in Acts chapter 22, we see in Paul's defense before Festus, recounting his life prior to his conversion, he persecuted Christians to death, binding them and putting both men and women into prison, Acts 22:5. But on the road to Damascus, after he had been blinded by the Lord told Ananias about Saul's future role. He said in verse 15, "Saul has a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons before Israel, and for I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." And so, other than Jesus, Paul became arguably one of the most influential people in the New Testament, and his reputation and his influence flourished. An example of reputation and influence changing from good to evil is Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it said, "Solomon loved the Lord, but that didn't mean he was perfect." In verse 5, the Lord asked Solomon, "What do you wish me to give you?" In verse 9, Solomon prayed for an understanding heart to judge the people, to discern between good and evil. And because of his selfless request, the Lord granted him with a wish and much more. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, he said, "I have done according to your words, and I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there had been no one like you before you, nor shall anyone rise after you. I have also given what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you in all your days. And if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days." During Solomon's reign, Israel reached its pinnacle, and that period became known as the Golden Age of Israelite history. In 1 Kings chapter 10:23-24, we read that Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom, and the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. But it didn't always go as smoothly as probably God would have liked. Solomon broke that conditional promise that God had given him in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 3:14, that said, "If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. In chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, Solomon turns from God. In 1 Kings 11:4, when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord God, as the heart of David his father had been." And so, in verse 9, we see that the Lord was angry with Solomon, and told Solomon that because of his disobedience, ultimately that his kingdom would be taken away. And so, as a result of his misconduct, Solomon's reputation and his influence was tarnished. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, is teaching his disciples, and in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "You're the light of the world." And so, that's what our reputation and our influence should be. It should be the light of the world. And so some of the ways we can influence people by what we say. In Matthew chapter 12, this is 33 through 37, Jesus is speaking with the Pharisees. Every action he took, they tried to find fault with it. And he knew their hearts, and they were trying to find ways to conspire against him. And notice what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or make a tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak evil? How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth out that which fills the heart, the good man brings out his treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, that they shall give accordingly for in the day of judgment, for by the words you will be justified and condemned. And so our words that we say on a daily basis reveal our influence and our true character, and what comes out of our mouths and how we say it defines who we are. We can also influence others by what we do and by our actions. Paul speaking to the church in Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, he talks about being pressed between the living. He talks about being pressed between living in the flesh in this life and being with Christ in heaven. That's verse 22 to 23. But verse 23, he says he knew that living was with Christ was far better. But he knew that remaining in the flesh was more necessary for them, or for the Philippians, verse 24. But notice what he says in verse 27, only conducting yourselves in a worthy manner of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so our conduct determines how other people see us. And lastly, we influence others by the faith that we exhibit. In James chapter 2, James was writing to those who had accepted the doctrine of the justification by faith. And we are not, or but we're... In James chapter 2, 14, he said, what is it, my brethren? If anyone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save them? If a brother or sister is living without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if a man that has no works, he is dead. If it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith, and I have works. You show me your work. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Because salvation, Romans 6:23 says salvation is a free gift from God, and we cannot earn our salvation by simply serving and obeying God. But our works and our actions are verification of our obedience to God. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And showing that kind of faith exhibits our devotion and our commitment toward God. And so, the next question is, how does our influence live after we have passed from this life, after our death? In Hebrews 11, we all know that chapter. It's the heroes of faith. And the author cites many examples of those who have demonstrated faith throughout history. The Hebrew writer mentions names like Abel, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, and how they exhibited tremendous faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, 13 through 16, all of these have died without receiving the promises, but having seen them, and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, and that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. These people died without receiving all that God had promised, but they never lost sight of their vision of heaven. They desired a better. In verse 16, we see that they desired a better country, that is a heavenly one. The Hebrew writer goes on to mention the accolades of the heroes of faith, like Joseph and Moses and David and many others, in verses 36 through 40 of chapter 11. We read, "And others experienced mockings, scourgings, and yes, also chains of imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sawn in two, and they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword. And they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts, in mountains, in caves, and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us. And so they parted from us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." And so you see, we must take the courage from the heroes who died, from the heroes of faith who lived and died, without seeing their fruit of their faith on the earth, but they continue to believe now. And so their works and their influence follow them long after death. And so now that we have God's fully revealed will, we have no reason not to believe. This challenges us to grow in the faith and to live in obedience to God each day. Those heroes of faith and others who have gone on to their reward, they can rest now. And John wrote in Revelation 14:13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." And so that's who we want to be. And so when you're at the end of your life's journey, how are you going to be remembered? What reputation and influence are you going to leave? Are you going to leave a legacy of worldliness, or are you going to lead a legacy of godliness? And so if you need to ask yourself, are you inside of Christ or are you outside of Christ? If you're outside of Christ, then the world owns you. Worldliness and sin separate you from God, and we see that in Isaiah chapter, or that's said in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, "In Jesus Christ are found all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus Christ we are," or in Colossians, later in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2, "In Jesus Christ we are complete." And so if you are outside of Christ, you can't benefit from the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are found only in Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And so, to be a Christian, and to come to Christ, you have to hear and believe the word first. In Romans, and that's found in Romans 10:17. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 tells us that you have to repent from your sin and turn away. And third, you must orally confess that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans 10:10. And fourth, from Acts 2:38, we see that we have to be baptized in the water for our remission of sins. And finally, Revelation 2:10, we must live faithful unto death. And likewise, if you are a Christian and sin is taking control of you, then you too must repent and confess your sins and pray for forgiveness. Acts 8:22. And so if you are subject to the invitation in any way, you can come forward after the conclusion of the second lesson.